and in the winter he'd heard it never came. Some of the new friends he'd made at the State Department had told him that the long nights could be hard on the little kids. At 4 years and 2 months, Sally still qualified for that. Five-month-old Jack probably didn't notice such things, and fortunately he slept just fine. He was doing so right now, in fact, in the custody of his nanny, Margaret van der Beek, a young redhead and daughter of a Methodist minister. Kathy was a little concerned about the whole idea of a nanny. The idea of somebody else raising her infant grated on her like fingernails on a chalkboard, but it was an honored local custom. Miss Margaret had been vetted through Sir Basil's agency, which meant precisely nothing, Jack reminded himself. The opposition, a British term also used at Langley, had penetrated the British intelligence community more than once. CIA believed they hadn't done so at Langley yet, but Jack had to wonder about that. KGB was pretty damned good. Of all his briefings, the security ones had been the most tiresome. Jack's dad had been the cop in the family, and Ryan himself had never quite mastered that mode of thinking. Sally was running about in circles, looking at her new bedroom. Jack kept out of the way. Kathy had told him he was unfitted even to supervise this sort of thing. "Where's the tourist?" an American voice asked. Ryan went to the foyer. "Dan, how the hell are you? It was a boring day at the office, so Liz and I came out to you." And sure enough, just behind the legal attaché was his beauty queen wife, the long-suffering Saint Liz of the FBI wives. Mrs. Murray went over to Kathy for a sisterly hug and kiss, then immediately off to the garden. Murray gazed at his friend. "You look like hell." "Long flight, boring book," Jack explained. "Didn't you sleep?" Murray asked in surprise. "On an airplane?" "It bothers you that much? Better get used to it, bud. You're going to be building up a lot of frequent flyer miles." "I suppose." Jack hadn't really considered that. He'd be going back and forth to Langley at least once a month, not the greatest thing for a reluctant flyer. "The moving going okay? You can trust this bunch, you know. Baz has used them for 20-plus years." "No bugs in the bathroom?" "Great," Ryan observed. "So, Dan, how good are they really?" "The Brits?" Murray led Ryan out into the front lawn. The removers were vetted by SIS, but Murray was FBI. "Basil is world class. He was a brilliant field spook, and he was the first guy to get a bad vibe about Philby. And remember, Basil was just a rookie then. I like him. Good dude to work with. And Baz likes you a lot, Jack."
"Why?" "I haven't done much of anything."
"Baz thinks you have the right stuff. He flat loved that thing you dreamed up last year to catch security leaks, the canary trap, and rescuing their next king didn't exactly hurt, you know. You're going to be a popular boy down at Century House. If you live up to your billing, you might just have a future in the spook business." "Great. Dan, I'm a stockbroker who turned into a history teacher, remember?" "Jack, that's behind you now. Look forward, will you? You were pretty good picking stocks at Merrill Lynch, right?"
"I made a few bucks," Ryan admitted. Actually, it was a lot of bucks, and his portfolio was still growing.
"So, apply your brains to something really important. I hate to tell you, Jack, but there aren't that many smart people in the intelligence community. You have the stuff to be a star. Jim Greer thinks so. So does Basil. You think outside the box. I do, too. That's why I'm not chasing bank robbers in Philadelphia anymore. But I never made any million bucks playing the market. Getting lucky doesn't make you a great guy, Dan. Hell, Kathy's dad, Joe, has made a lot more than I ever will, and he's an opinionated, overbearing son of a bitch."
"Well, you made his daughter the wife of an honorary knight, didn't you?"
Jack smiled sheepishly.
"Yeah, I suppose I did."
"That'll open a lot of doors over here, Jack. The Brits do like their titles."
His office was in the first basement level of the center, a security measure that had never been explained to him, but it turned out there was an exact counterpart room in the headquarters of the main enemy. There it was called Mercury, messenger of the gods, very apt, if his nation acknowledged the concept of a god. The messages passed through the code and cipher clerks, came to his desk, and he examined them for content and code words before routing them to the proper officers for action. Then, when the messages came back down, he routed things the other way. The tedious part was the encrypting, of course, since so many of the people out in the field used one-time pads unique to themselves. The single copies of those pads were located in the set of rooms to his right. The clerks in there transmitted and kept secrets ranging from the sex lives of Italian parliamentarians to the precise targeting hierarchy of American nuclear strike plans.